You are listening to the Political Periscope, a weekly podcast brought to you by Radio WNET. Interviews on international politics, security, geopolitics, economy, and more. Every Thursday at 7 p.m.
Today's guest of the Political Periscope is Lőrinc Nagy, member of the Hungarian Parliament and the spokesperson of the Christian Democratic People's Party, which is in governing coalition with Viktor Orbán's Fidesz.
Political Periscope.
Yesterday, the European Parliament adopted a report stating that Hungary is no longer a democracy, but it's an electoral autocracy. What do you think about it?
It's nothing surprising. We've been through this many times in the European Parliament. The European Parliament, based on a big leftist, left-liberal majority, and they would like to punish Hungary again and again since 2013, and especially since 2015, when we built the fence on the southern border of Hungary, when we stopped the migration flow through Europe. We stopped 400,000 people in that year. And even now in 2022, every day more than 1,000, 2,000 illegal migrants are coming to the southern fence, to the southern borders of Hungary, and to the southern borders of the European Union. So we are protecting the borders of the European Union, and that's why they are attacking all again and again, and now especially for our child protection law against gender propaganda in schools and in kindergartens. And the leftist, the liberal majority of the European Parliament are really angry because we did that. So that's why this report is very biased. It's not neutral. It's not impartial. It's not objective. It's a subjective political documentum.
But it's not binding. However, will Hungary do something about it in some way? Are there any changes planned inside of Hungary to compel better with what European Commission and European Parliament think?
First of all, we would like to do our job according to the authorization that the Hungarian voters gave us. In 2022, 3rd of April, it was the fourth consecutive time when the Hungarian voters gave us a big authorization to run the country and do things. It's two-thirds majority, fourth consecutive time. But in the other hand, we are in constant dialogue with the European Union, with the European Commission as well. And we did a lot of things, even in the Council of Europe and the Venice Commission recommendations, the GRECO recommendations, and of course the Commission recommendations. We are in constant dialogue with them, and we are willing to do some changes in the laws, as we did in the past as well. But there are some points we cannot let the European Union decide on behalf of the Hungarian voters.
But not only Hungary has some problems with European Union, especially the European Commission, Poland is also in a conflict. What do you think about it?
I think the European Union and especially European bureaucrats wanted to prove that only a liberal democracy can be successful. And Poland and Hungary could prove that conservative democracy, Christian democracy can be successful as well, economically, culturally, and politically as well. And they cannot bear this situation that Poland and Hungary, as conservative, center-right, Christian democratic powers and countries, can be successful, because we see the numbers. We see how economically doing this country. We see the result of the political elections. We see the result of every quarter of the year, like we saw the result how we tackled the COVID-19 pandemic in Poland and Hungary and the Central European country. And they see that the future of the European Union is in Central Europe.
And do you think that maybe the future of Central Europe could be in 3Cs initiative? And if yes, in what way?
I think 3Cs initiative is really important. And the future of this changing global political landscape is the regional cooperation. Of course, we need the European Union, and the European Union needs us as well, the Central and Eastern European countries. But as with these countries, we share some parts of our history. We share some values. We still exist in Central European region. We need regional cooperation economically and politically as well.
And Visegrad group, there is going to be a meeting finally. However, the differences seem to be huge between Hungary and other members of Visegrad group.
We said it earlier, and it's true. The Visegrad group is strong because we agreed on more things than, for example, with Germany or with France or with Belgium or with Sweden. Because out of 10 things in the Visegrad meetings, we can agree on 7 things. For example, with Sweden, only maybe 3 things in the agenda of the European Union. And that makes us strong. And we should focus on the 7 things we agreed on, not the 3 things that separate us.
You've mentioned Sweden. Hungary is one of only 2 countries of NATO which didn't ratify the agreement, the Sweden and Finland membership in NATO. Why and when will it happen?
The ratification is on the agenda of the parliamentary session this autumn. The parliament will begin in 10 days, I think, here in Hungary. We will discuss the situation. And of course, the NATO needs to be strengthened. The NATO is a really important alliance, and everybody in NATO is our allies.
However, you don't really want NATO forces here in Hungary.
We have NATO forces in Hungary, and of course we are taking part in NATO missions in the world. For example, right now the Kosovo mission's chief is a Hungarian general. The Hungarian soldiers and the Hungarian military groups are really appreciated member of these missions. And as a member of the NATO Parliamentary Assembly, I can say that only the highest respect they get from the military leaders, from the NATO leaders, the Hungarian soldiers taking part of these missions. And even Hungarian Air Force is defending the airspace in the Baltics right now, especially in Lithuania. Which is a really hot place right now because of the war.
Let's get back to those 3 things that divide us. The war, the attitude towards Ukraine is one of them. Hungary doesn't want military supplies to Ukraine, doesn't want even to allow them through Hungarian territory.
2 things is most important for us. The first one is peace. We think that the solution for this war is peace. So with every resources, with every political and diplomatic relations we have, we try to move towards a peace agreement, a ceasefire first, of course, and then a peace agreement, because nobody likes this war. We had a parliamentary declaration about the war, and we stand it up for Ukraine territorial integrity and national sovereignty. It's really important. More than 1 million refugees from Ukraine came to Hungary, or directly to the Ukrainian-Hungarian border or to Romania. I've been several times at the Hungarian-Ukrainian border. We help them a lot. I think it's a big number, and the biggest humanitarian action in Hungary's history is towards Ukraine. We send a lot of aid and a lot of humanitarian aid in the Transcarpathia region, where a big Hungarian community lives, and beyond the Transcarpathian region to Ukrainian cities to help the Ukrainian people. It's an awful war, and we have to come to a peace agreement.
Ukrainians say that the easiest way to peace is defeating Russia.
The easiest way, we can understand the Ukrainian way of thinking and this perspective. I think Europe is a loser in this war, economically and politically as well. Of course, we stand up on Ukraine territorial integrity and national sovereignty, but the easiest way to come to a peace agreement is a ceasefire, and every part of the war have to come to an agreement when they have a ceasefire, and then all the diplomatic relations can work. I think this is a time where not the generals but the diplomats can control how the things will go in the future, and as soon as possible we need a ceasefire.
But we've seen a ceasefire, many ceasefires since 2014. We've seen many diplomatic, the diplomatic approach. We've seen two Minsk conferences, and Russia. It's not Russian game. They don't play diplomatic game. They use it just to prolong the war.
That's why we need to use all the diplomatic and political power we have in the European Union. And of course, we need the United States for this as well, because without the United States, there won't be a peace agreement, I think, in this region and in Ukraine especially. So the European Union, as a power, as a big political and economical community, needs to collect all the powers, all the diplomatic experience and relations, and has to have pressure on Russia to have this ceasefire.
But buying gas and oil from Russia doesn't help this diplomatic pressure, and that's what Hungary is still doing.
It's a physical reality. You know, with ideology, with white papers, with policy papers, and with ideological and philosophical thinking, you cannot heat your apartments. And that's a geopolitical and physical reality in Hungary. We don't need any other sources to get gas, and 85% of the Hungarian households are heated by gas. That's the reality right now in 2022. We did a lot in the past 12 years since we came into power, because there were one interconnectors, like gas interconnectors, with one neighboring countries back to 2010, and now we have six in different directions. We have the pipeline through Romania to the Black Sea gas fields. We have the pipelines and the interconnectors to the Crook Island, the LNG terminal. But from the Black Sea, we didn't get any gas. From the Crook terminal, now we are getting some LNG, but it's not enough for us. And that's why it is the reality. We are responsible for the Hungarian peoples, for the Hungarian households. And that's why we need to heat them in this winter. So that's the physical reality we have.
And what about those refugees? I heard that most of Ukrainian refugees didn't stay in Hungary. Is it true?
The majority of Ukrainian refugees didn't stay in Hungary, that's true, but a lot of them stayed in Hungary. We organized the education of the Ukrainian children and the refugee children. We received, especially the first weeks, we received a lot of refugees from Ukraine, not Ukrainian citizens, students studying in Ukraine, workers. I met students from Zimbabwe, I met students from Brazil, and so on, so on. So we organized them to get them home. We organized the education of the refugee children, and we offered everybody who wanted to stay a job opportunity, even a state job, or in the market. We could prepare that. So a lot of them, of course, stayed, but the majority of the Ukrainian refugees went overseas, or even a few of them went back and stayed in the Transcarpathia region, which is a quite secure region in Ukraine.
But unlike in Baltic states or Prague or Poland, I didn't see many Ukrainian flags here in Budapest, almost none.
Well, I don't know how many Ukrainian flags in Budapest. I like to see in the front of the parliament the Hungarian flag. But of course, what I saw in the Hungarian-Ukrainian border when I was there several times, it was really touching. A lot of people throughout the country, from the longest distance, from the other corner of the country, came to help, came to bring some donation, came to, I don't know, make sandwiches for them, offer ride for them to Budapest, to the big railway stations or bus station or the airport. They came to help and did this work voluntarily. The whole country just moved like a union together to help the Ukrainian refugees and, of course, the Hungarian national minorities living in Ukraine, because a lot of them, they came to Hungary as well, and and they needed help. So we have more than 1 million people.
Does Hungarian society understand well that this war is Russians' fault, or are there any doubts, any different opinions?
I know. We exactly know who is the aggressor. The aggressor is Russia, who did a wrong, absolutely wrong thing in the 21st century, settling the debates. It's not through war. That's for sure. That's why settling your debates, because you can have debates with your neighboring countries. It's general throughout the world. We see the conflict between Azerbaijan and Armenia right now. We saw some territorial debates in China and in Japan and so on, so on. So, of course, there are debates, but we have to settle these debates through diplomatic channels. The war can't be the solution for every debate. So it's absolutely unacceptable, and every Hungarian citizen know who is the aggressor.
Do you think that Polish-Hungarian relations can get back to such good level as it was before the February 2022?
It's a long friendship. The Polish-Hungarian friendship and relations going back to the history, centuries. Many centuries, throughout many centuries, we could be allies, we could be friends, we could be even with the same king sometimes throughout the history. So it's in our DNA, Polish-Hungarian friendship, Dva Bratanki, it's in our DNA. So I hope and I think that we could restore these toes that separate us and get back together, jointly a force towards making a better Europe and making a more valuable place here in Central Europe, making the regional cooperation succeed and so on.
So just for the end, so there is no risk for democracy, neither in Hungary nor in Poland.
I think the democracy is in really good shape in Poland and in Hungary as well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
This was the Political Periscope. The podcast is released every Thursday at 7 p.m.